Thank you all for joining us here at Christ Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Logan. I am the assistant director here, and this morning I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are the God who brings renewal to our lives. I pray that as we study the Psalms this morning, that your Spirit would be at work in us to do his good work. I pray that we would see you in the kind of way that makes it make sense to trust you, and that you would do your work in renewing our lives because of that. Dear God, we love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. A couple of years ago, when I was in school, I had to read a book that was called Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. And the whole idea behind the book was that they had been teaching a class. May have been Harvard or Princeton, I don't remember, but they had taught a class about lifestyles and how to build a life that works for you. And they had a bunch of different ideas that you had to go through, a bunch of different activities and tests, and one of them was called an activity log. They had two different speedometers, one that said measured engagement level, and one that measured energy level. And what they required their students to do, and whoever wrote this book to do, was keep a measurement throughout the day about the activities they did. And then they would go back through and say, did this activity engage me in the kind of way that I enjoyed, positive, negative, and did this produce energy in me, or did it take more energy than it gave? Positive energy, negative energy. And after about a week or so, they would have you go back through and say, these are the activities that bring you energy and bring you joy and happiness. And these are the ones that they're necessary, but you have to work at them a little bit harder. And they talk about creating healthy rhythms and cycles that help you balance work and other things, because their argument is that you cannot go 100% all the time for just one thing. And this idea stuck with me for a while. I don't remember much else about the book, but the entire point about we look for ways in our lives to bring refreshment to them. We have to create healthy rhythms, healthy cycles that bring us out of certain high points, high tensions into this brings me refreshment. This prepares me for something strong. Not great at it yet, still working at it, but that is the idea that they proposed. And the writer David in Scripture knew what it was like to have a drained life. From the time he's introduced in Scripture, he battles one difficult thing after another. He's anointed king when he's very young and has to go fight Goliath. After he fights Goliath, he becomes a captain in the king's army. And then the king starts growing a little bit jealous of him, so then David has to go on the run and starts hiding from this ferocious king. And even after he does become king, he has to work through severe family issues, most of which he started in one way or another. He had to contend with several conspiracies and usurpers, two of which were his own sons. He knew what it was like to have a life that drained him, and he also knew how to refresh his soul. When David encountered these difficult circumstances, he didn't go through them unaffected. He didn't stand strong and say, nothing hurts me, nothing affects me. In fact, very frequently, both in the Psalms and in the narratives, we see he had emotional responses to his encounters. And sometimes he let them affect him for a long time. He looked for quick fixes or solutions that didn't always help solve the problem and typically made them worse. But sometimes he did get it right. And the clearest indication of this is when Scripture tells us David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In our own lives, maybe we can relate to this. We've looked for ways to navigate the strains and the difficulties of life in the wrong places. Although I'd like to be able to deny it, in my own life, there is video evidence somewhere of me slumped against a kitchen counter eating half a bag of jelly beans. In fact, there's probably more than one video pointing towards that evidence. And typically, I did not feel good after that. About half an hour later or an hour later, you could have found me in the bathroom, probably. And it's not just food that we turn to, but it's also entertainment. We can say movies are fun, games are fun, but we can also use them as escape routes to say, I want to take a break and relax myself for a little bit. But when we click the next YouTube video, the next Netflix button, the next game, although it may not be bad or anything, they rarely leave us feeling refreshed. But there are times we can also find renewal in the right place. Like David, we might be able to experience, we might have experienced the renewing presence of God. Being still in the presence of God puts us in a place where God does his good work in our souls, and we come away with a deeper sense of reverence for God. And this is what we'll be looking at today, this idea. The greatest renewal in our lives happens when we seek the presence of God. And David gives us a healthy way of seeking God through prayer in Psalm 27. Starting at verse 7, he says, "Hear me, O God, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." We don't know the exact details of what was going on in David's life when he read this. As we looked before, there were a lot of things that it could have been, and honestly, it could have been any other number of things that were not recorded in Scripture. Those were just the bare minimum. But we can tell that something is troubling him. And he spends a majority of this part of the psalm pleading with God. We'll take a look at this together more closely towards the end. But there is a transition that helps move David from simply pleading with God to finding renewal in trusting God's character and waiting on God with confidence. But this first part, let's start with looking at this, and we'll connect it to the idea of renewal in the presence of God. Renewal comes when we trust God to hear us. Hear, O God, when I cry aloud. If you've ever talked and you felt like no one listened to you before, you understand what it's like to not be heard, especially when we talk about what's most important to us. If something's going on in life, if someone looks at us and says, scrolls on their phone, types a little bit more on their computer, we know one thing went in the ear and then right out the other. The other way that we know that people haven't really listened to us is when they start talking over us and start trying to fix our problems for us, when simply we just want them to listen. Either way, we leave feeling frustrated or hurt. And we either ask for that person to listen one more time, maybe they will or they won't, or we stay silent and let things go. When we do feel like we're heard, however, we begin to trust those individuals who listen. We can sense the care and compassion that comes from people who give us their attention as we talk. When we trust that God listens, we do begin to trust him more. I don't want us to miss the significance of this. In David's time, anyone could walk into a fancy building, walk up to a statue, say a prayer to it, and walk away. There was no way those things heard them. They had eyes but didn't see. They had ears but didn't hear. They had feet but they couldn't move. And in fact, the prophets in the Old Testament continually talk to Israel about this. They say, you give up the living God for things made of stone and metal and works. Okay, when David says, Hear me, O God, when I cry aloud. There is a trust and a dependency that God is different than someone who either hears but doesn't listen, or than a piece of metal that has no emotion behind it. He is not an inanimate object unable to meet us in our time of need. And for David, here he is not just a passive or standalone activity. When he trusted that God would hear him, he also asked God to do something when he has been heard. Be gracious to me and answer me. Renewal comes when we trust God to be gracious to us. Time and time again, God makes himself known as a gracious God. He doesn't treat us as we deserve, but he treats us better. When he treats us better than we deserve, his capacity far exceeds our ability to treat people well and others' abilities to treat us better than we deserve. There is no one better to hope for in being treated better than we deserve. As a church, we never want to miss an opportunity to connect people to the grace of God. That's why we talk about it again and again. When we lose sight of God's grace, it becomes difficult to trust that he has goodwill towards us. And we'll talk about that later at the end of the psalm. But it becomes easy for us to fear coming to him when things aren't going well or when we make a mistake. How does this bring us renewal? Like I said, it is difficult to trust someone who isn't gracious to us. If you've ever had a friend or maybe a boss or a coworker who takes every opportunity they can to tear you down or tear the people around you down or speak ill of people that you don't even know, it's difficult to trust them. You don't know if you share something with them, whether they'll hold that against you, whether they'll tell someone else about it, or if they will treat you differently because they know something deeper about you. With God, this looks differently. Because he has a track record of treating us better than we deserve, it feels safe to come before God because he won't write our problems off as no big deal. But also, renewal comes when we trust God to answer us. Again, David was not asking God to be a passive listener and say, yeah, you're right, something's going wrong. Let me feel bad for you. He was asking God to respond to the situation. If you've read through the Bible, if you've heard a sermon on it before, the book of Job has a very interesting idea about answering. Job goes his whole life being a man who's declared to be right, has a lot of wealth, has a very large family, and he's blessed. One day, all that goes away, and he feels and experiences the pain of loss. And in that pain, he asks God to answer him. And very interestingly, God does answer Job. He doesn't throw Job a pity party. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't even explain what's going on. But in a very, very roundabout way, he says, Job, I'm asking you to trust me. He says, if you can describe for me everything that's happened in history, then you are able to say, I've done something wrong to you. He doesn't tell Job why things have happened, but in the end, Job realizes who he is before the Almighty. He is humbled, but he learns to trust God through it. In a similar way, we can trust that God answers us. We're not going to always get the outcome we want. We're not going to get the answers we're looking for, necessarily. But we can trust God not to be distant or silent. Renewal comes when we trust God can be sought. You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. I don't think any of us can say we enjoy a desperate searching after something that can't be found or doesn't exist. A couple of times I've been sent on missions, if you will, to go to the grocery store and pick something up. And sometimes those things exist, and sometimes they're not in stock, or they don't exist, or I was looking for the wrong thing for half an hour. If you've had that experience before, you know that it's frustrating. when we trust that God both listens and responds, we reach out for help. It makes sense for God for us to seek the presence of God. We trust God will not play hide and seek with us. We trust him not to bait and switch us when he says, come seek my face, and then somehow or another, he hides himself and can't be found. Another reality to this is that as we pursue something, we tend to become more like it. If you've ever wanted to start being healthier or more like someone, you start picking up similar habits to what they do. Musicians pick up similar practice habits in order to hone their skills so they can be like the people they see and look up to. Lawyers and attorneys, they want to be the best people they can be, so they learn how to study, how to research, how to prepare a defense so that they can be the best lawyers they want to be. And the same thing is true when we pursue God. Pursuing God is the best thing for our souls because we were created for God and by God. When we pursue God, we are in a position for God to do his good work in us, and he makes us more like him. He renews our souls as we seek him because that is how they were designed to be. Renewal comes when we trust God not to separate himself from us. This is one of the most potent and strongest petitions in the psalm. In four different ways, David pleads with God not to separate himself from David. He said, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Cast me not off and forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. This is one of the strongest feelings that we can experience as human beings. When we look at the beginning of creation and at the beginning of sin entering the world, one of the very first effects of sin was separation. Husband and wife were separated from each other. Humanity and Creator separated from each other. Humanity was separated from the presence of God and excluded from the garden. It is one of the most basic fears and realities of the human condition. However, we have this hope that no longer will anything separate us from God. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the end of Romans 8, and Paul, in his masterful way, wrote, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall sword, famine, tribulation, distress? He says, no, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death nor life, nor rulers, nor messengers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Because through Christ, God brought us back to himself. And David also reminds us that renewal comes when we trust God to guide us. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversary, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. David starts shifting gears here to address the problem more directly. The key phrase is because of my enemies and the false witnesses. Some people started to accuse David of something he didn't do, and he felt the pressures of that. Depending on what it was, they could have responded in violence, they could have responded by getting people around them to usurp him. There are many things that could have happened. And I'm willing to bet that we've all felt unjustly accused of something before. Maybe it was a situation at work where your boss thought you were the culprit that something went wrong, and really it was someone else, and they kind of threw you under the bus. Maybe you grew up with siblings, and your parents accused you of doing something, and it was really the sibling who framed you a little bit. There's always been a little bit of discussion about my siblings with that. As the years have gone on, they've called me an instigator. I still claim that it was not me, but there's really going to be no way to correctly identify that because there were no cameras around. Regardless, when we are falsely accused of something, it hurts. And when that happens, in my experience, those false accusations lead to unease and distrust. If someone falsely accuses me of something, I'm not going to trust them to be able to know what they're talking about the next time something happens. I'm not going to be able to trust them to come to them with any issues I have or with any good things that are happening because they haven't given me a reason to. It's difficult to trust someone when they've held a wrong opinion about you and treated you poorly because of it. But David tells us that renewal does not come from revenge in this situation. Renewal comes from responding in a godly way. The teach me your ways and the guide me on your paths are not just about biblical truths, but biblical ways of responding in the midst of these circumstances. Responding the wrong way to unjust accusations or injustice in general keeps us in the same place we're at. If your boss yells at you and then you respond by yelling at your boss, it doesn't solve the issue. And typically in that situation, the boss always wins. Same thing goes with a parent or a teacher or siblings. It does not reduce the tension or solve the issue in the relationship. It usually makes them worse. And not only does it make the problem worse, it usually makes us feel worse. We feel more angry about the situation because they won't listen to us. We feel more bitter about the situation because it's not turning out the way that it should. Responding in a godly way, however, helps set up the situation for renewal. When we respond in a godly way, there is an opportunity for gentleness and patience to have an effect that allows people to see the whole situation. Moreover than that, it shows a degree of renewal in our own lives. If we want to grow and mature in Christ, we want to be treating people better every time we encounter them than we did the last time. When we do, that is an evidence of renewal in our own lives. And then David starts to shift a little bit in verses 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Throughout scriptures, the writers talk about the goodness of God time and time again. When we experience difficult circumstances, sometimes we think God might be mad at us. When someone is upset with us, we start to make that our default setting for seeing God in that same way. But what David says is, I trust that your will towards me is good. I trust that your goodness is going to bring renewal in my life. And David lays out a response for us in that verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. If you can get a little bit of a sense of what he's trying to say, I think he wants us to wait for the Lord. This psalm is David's way of trying to make sense of what's going on in his situation. He's thought through things in the first half that we didn't have time to look at. He's made his petition and his pleas before God. And now he comes to the most difficult part of the renewing process, waiting. It's very difficult to want to be able to wait for something, especially when we want it desperately. If you've ever waited for a movie to come out, or if you've waited for a new episode to drop on Netflix, or if you've even waited to see your family again, a lot of people weren't able to go out of country or out of state during the last couple of years, and they've had to wait to be able to see the people they care about. It is not easy, but David says that it is significant. And he says this is not a passive activity, and I'll start ending with this. While we wait, we trust the goodness of God and derive strength and courage from how God reveals himself to be. Because he hears, because he's gracious, because he answers, because he can be sought, because he does not separate himself from us, because he teaches us healthy responses, we have certainty that God will do his good work in us and renew our souls. Let's go ahead and pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful that in your presence you renew us. I pray that as we continue to think about you in the right kind of way, that we would not be distracted from you, but that our hearts would be drawn closer to you. I pray that we would see your grace. I pray that we would see your goodness, and that as we wait on you, you would do your good work in us. I pray that we would wait for you. I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray that you would make us courageous. And I pray, as David ended, that we would wait on the Lord our God. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray.